right, let's read Isaiah 43, verse 14 through 19. I'll read the first verse, we'll all read the second verse together, and so on. Isaiah 43, verses 14 through 19. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as a tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old? Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for these verses we read moments ago. As I pull the truth out, I pray you'd give us all ears to hear. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now notice what it says in verse 16. We read this. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in mighty waters. Then in verse 19, it says this. The Lord tells us, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, in our text verses, Isaiah is prophesying to Judah about the time that the Lord would raise up the Chaldean army to discipline the nation because of its sin. He lets them know that God will deliver them once he has finished with chastening them. The Chaldean army, under the command of Nebuchadnezzar, did ransack Jerusalem. They did destroy the temple, and they took many captive from Judah. But the day would come when the Chaldean army would be defeated, and they would be put out like a wick of an oil lamp by the Lord. While Judah's future was bleak, as they would be taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, Isaiah gave them hope that God would deliver them when his work of chastening them was over. Isaiah reminds them of four different things that God had done for them in the past as a way to encourage them that God will deliver them in the future. He brings to their remembrance how the Lord delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, how he delivered them across the Red Sea, how he brought them through the wilderness, and how the Jordan River opened up and they went into Canaan, the promised land. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. This powerful nation made the Jews serve with rigor. The taskmasters appointed over them made their lives bitter with bondage and affliction. Despite the cruelty, the Jews multiplied, and it grieved those who held them captive. So Pharaoh instructs the Hebrew midwives to kill the newborn Jewish boys. When that plan failed, he instructs that every son be cast into the Nile River. Now Pharaoh was no dummy, and he may have heard the time of Israel's deliverance was drawing nigh, and he was making sure that it wouldn't happen on his watch. Born during this troublesome time was a son to Amram and Jochebed, who hid their baby for 3 months. Jochebed makes an ark of bulrushes, and she waterproofs it with pitch and placed it in the flags by the river's brink. Pharaoh's daughter comes to wash herself. She spots the ark, and when she opens it, she sees the baby boy, and it is weeping. She has compassion on the little guy, and she hires a Hebrew woman to nurse the boy that she named Moses, who just happened to be Jochebed, who is now getting paid by Pharaoh to care for her own boy. Now, I don't know about all the details of what took place, but once Pharaoh's daughter held that little Jewish baby boy in her arms, she asked her father, "Can I keep him? I will make sure that he is brought up in all the ways of Egypt." By the time perhaps Moses is 2 years old, Maybe just is sitting on Pharaoh's lap while he is on the throne. And he tells his soldiers, be sure you kill all those baby boys. Make sure that you hunt them down. Make sure they're cast into the river. I don't want to have to deal with the deliverer those folks are looking for. Meanwhile, the toddler Moses is playing with Pharaoh's beard, pulling on his ears, perhaps even taking the crown off his head. Little did Pharaoh realize the deliverer God was raising up to free his people was the one on his knee, running about the palace, eating his food, being clothed by him, and having every need he could possibly have being taken care of by Pharaoh himself. Moses grew up, and when he did, he wanted to identify himself with the people of God. And when he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, he killed that Egyptian. And when Pharaoh heard what Moses had done, he wanted to kill the adopted son of his daughter. Moses then flees to Midian, where he tends sheep on the backside of the desert for 40 years. God then speaks to Moses out of the burning bush, and he tells him, return to Egypt, and you tell the people there, let my people go. It's been centuries that Israel had been in Egypt. But the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob was about to be fulfilled. Now, to those in bondage, the thought of gaining freedom was a pipe dream. They believed that there was no way possible this would ever come to pass. Then the plagues came upon Egypt. First, water was turned into blood, followed by the frogs, lice, flies, the death of livestock, boils upon man and beast, hail and fire, locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. By the time of the last judgment, Pharaoh was willing to let them go. And when they left the Egyptians gave them jewels of silver and gold for all the work they had done the previous 400 years. All those who thought it would not happen, it could not happen, it was impossible, now knew that nothing was impossible with God, for he maketh a way. Once they left Egypt, they came to the Red Sea. There they found themselves between a rock and a hard place. The sea was before them and Pharaoh's army behind them. They were in trouble, and they accused Moses of bringing them there to start a graveyard. They told him it was better for them to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Hope was gone. The dream of a promised land had come to naught, and they could only wish that their demise would come swiftly and with minimal pain. Moses puts his faith in the God of heaven, the one who can make a way in the sea. And he stretches out his hand over the sea, and a strong east wind blows all night. The waters are parted. The Jews cross on dry ground, and the Egyptians who followed them were drowned. When they were hemmed in by the Egyptian soldiers in the sea, and when they couldn't see a way, they were right, because there wasn't one. But God made a way in the sea. When they come to the wilderness, they had no food to eat. There were times when there was no water to quench their thirst. And they complained to Moses, what are we going to do? We remember the fish which we did eat, the melons, the leeks, and the onions. Now those leeks and onions and garlic, they're not there to help you lose weight. But I'll tell you what, they can keep you at a distance from other people, and that'll make you look thinner. They said, Moses, did you bring us out here to die of thirst? Did you bring us out here to die of starvation? Yes, they remembered what they had in Egypt. But why didn't they remember the God who brought them out of Egypt by the shed blood of the Lamb, or the God who made a way for them through the Red Sea? Moses would look to God, and God made a way to turn bitter water sweet, to get water out of a rock, and to bring streams in the desert, and give them fresh manna 6 days a week, and enough to supply their need on the Sabbath, for on the prior morning, they were to get twice as much so they would have plenty to eat on the Sabbath. I wonder if when they were told that they would wander around the wilderness for 40 years, if they thought there was no way that their clothes and shoes would last. But God saw to it that when they left Egypt, they were wearing clothes made by Duluth Trading Company, and their feet were shod with some Doc Martens. They were stuffed at last. He provided a way to meet their needs of his people, even when it was beyond their capability to comprehend how. When they finally are ready to cross over into the promised land, the Jordan River overflowed its banks. Now they could see the promised land from the other side, but there was no way all of them would make it across the swollen Jordan River. But God provided a way. The priests that bear the ark would go first. And when they dipped their feet in the water, the flow of the river would cease, and Israel would pass over on dry land. Yes, God made a way through that swollen river. Now in our text verses we read that he maketh a way. And he said himself, I will even make a way. Now listen, it doesn't say I will show them a way. It says that he will make a way. You may be thinking, well, what's the difference? What's the point you're trying to make, preacher? Well, there may be times when you don't see a way of getting out of a situation and moving forward because there may not be a way. You find yourself in a place with no way out. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the burdens that you're carrying. You may have a marriage on the rocks. You may believe you have an irreparable, perhaps, relationship. And maybe you face a ruptured relationship with one of your children, and there seems to be no way possible for it to be made right. Maybe you find yourself in a financial hole that you can't dig yourself out of. You find yourself in a pickle. You are hemmed in on all sides, and all hope is gone. You can't figure out how you ever keep going forward because you just can't see a way, for there's no hope. Well, let me introduce to you a God who not only will show you a way, but will make a way when there is no way to show. God providing a way for his people is found throughout the Bible. And he reminds the Jews that he will make a way once a Babylonian captivity is over. And then they will return to the land. Folks, he made a way in the past. He made a way for Israel, and he will do it again. And he will continue to do so all the days of our lives. He will make a way for you. So just keep on trusting him. Don't turn back. Keep moving forward by faith. We serve a God who will make a way when there is no way. We can get mighty discouraged when we can't see the way. But listen, are we not to walk by faith and not by sight? Is there not a God in heaven? He is still on the throne. He is still the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's still all powerful. He is all-knowing, and as such, he knows your predicament, and he can make a way if we just keep moving forward by faith in our time of trouble. The psalmist said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Into each one of our lives, adversity comes. Sometimes the going gets mighty rough. Yes, there are sorrows. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, we're faced with opposition. But with faith in God, we can move forward believing that he will make a way when there's no way to be found. In the book of Genesis, we read of a young man named Joseph. God spoke to this young man in dreams. Now, he was given a vision of his brothers and his parents bowing down before him. But then his brothers decided, you know what? They're going to sell him to slave traders. And they bring him down into Egypt, where he's brought by Potiphar. Now he's in a foreign land, and there is no way those dreams would now be realized. And while he's tending to business in his master's house, Mrs. Potiphar accuses him of rape, and he's thrown in prison. So much for those revelations. For there was no way. No way that those dreams that he had would come to pass. Then two fellow jailbirds had dreams. And he interprets them, and Pharaoh's chief butler is restored to his position. With Joseph pleading to him to make his case known to Pharaoh, and for 2 years, the butler failed to requite Joseph. All hope was gone. Then Pharaoh has some dreams. The butler has a V8 moment. He stayed at a Holiday Inn that night. Joseph was then let out of prison, told Pharaoh what his dreams meant, and then was promoted to prime minister over all the land. 7 years of plenty go by. No sign of family. There's no way those dreams would come true. But during the time of famine, his family came and those dreams were realized. When there seemed to be no way, God made a way. In the book of Esther, there was signed a decree that all the Jews were to be killed throughout all the king's provinces. And that signing of that decree could not be annulled. But God made a way, and those Jews were delivered. And they suffer they celebrate Purim to this day. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar demanded all the officials throughout his kingdom bow and worship before a golden statue. And those who wouldn't would be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. And you know, no doubt they thought about Meshach. And they thought, man, if he gets thrown into that fiery furnace, he's going to be no Shack. There was no way to escape those hot flames. The people that cast him in, they were burned up, but God provided a way, and they were fireproofed. When Abraham and Sarah were well up in age, both of their bodies unable to have children, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, and he was promised a son, and God provided a way, and Isaac was born. When Naaman the leper, the general of the Syrian army, was sent to the king of Israel to be healed of his awful disease, the king of Israel rent his clothes. He knew that Naaman could not possibly be cleansed of leprosy. And he thought the king of Israel was picking a fight. But God made a way. And Elijah invited the Syrian general to come to him. And all it took was 7 ducks in a muddy water, and he came up with the flesh of a child. In the New Testament, a crowd of 5,000 men, besides women and children, gathered to hear Jesus speak. And when evening was come, They were hungry. And all the disciples had at the time were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But God made a way. And that great crowd of people were fed. And there were 12 baskets of leftovers. That little given to the Lord turned out to be more than enough. Paul was told by the Lord in Acts chapter 23 that he would bear witness of Jesus in Rome. Well, the Jews planned to kill him. He was imprisoned, even though there was no charges worthy of death or of bonds were found in him. Yet he made an appeal to Caesar. Then he's put on a ship that was sailing to Italy. They get caught up in a storm so severe that all hope that they should be saved was taken away. But God made a way. Everyone survived. And Paul ended up in Rome on Caesar's dime, where he preached the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles. I'm telling you, God will provide a way when there is no way, and we need to keep on moving forward by faith. And the account of the rich young ruler who came to Christ saying, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He, like many, were relying on keeping the law and doing good. Yet he lacked a living faith in Jesus Christ, and his covetous man went away grieved. Jesus then speaks to his disciples, and they ask him, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus tells them, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." You see, it's impossible for man to save themselves. You may be religious. You may be as good as Mother Teresa. I don't know how good she was. You can be kind, and you ought to be kind. You can be the world's foremost humanitarian. You can follow the law blamelessly. You can be baptized, be in church every time the doors are open. Read your Bible daily, pray often, and live by the motto, "I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't hang with those that do." And still end up in a devil's hell. For all men are dead in trespasses and sin. They are condemned and without hope. But thank God he made a way when there is no way for man to save themselves. It is through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was not only God, but he is the only way to go to heaven. We may not know all we would like to know about that city whose builder and maker is God. But one thing the Bible is clear about, and that's how to get there. And that is through Jesus, who said, "I am the way." That is through Jesus, who died on a cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. Listen. I grew up in a cult and is referred to as the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation. And there were so many things I had to do, so many sacraments I had to partake in. By the time that I was a young teen, I thought to myself, "I can't do this. It's too hard. There's no way." But then later on, someone pointed me to the Savior. And through simple faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cruel tree of Calvary, I became fit for heaven. For the way of the cross leads home, leads to the Father's house. With man there is no way, but God provided a way through faith in his Son. Since that time, I have found that in times of trouble, that when I move forward by faith, he maketh a way as I call upon him in prayer. In time of temptation, he maketh a way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You see, when God tests our faith and we think it's more than we can bear, he makes a way to escape and he tells us to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. When we sin, when our fellowship with him is broken, we have sullied our testimony, and we may, like Peter, think that he is through with us. He makes a way. He tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we have a need that there is no way we think we can, that can be met, God provides a way. He says, call upon the one who gives us his son and claim this promise that is found in Romans 8:32. Listen to this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When in ill health, he makes a way. For his grace is sufficient for thee. When faced with difficulties in a relationship, he makes a way. He makes a way to move forward. Perhaps by applying the principles of forgiveness. And if that don't work, then bless them. Do them good. Pray for them. Yes, there are difficulties. There are obstacles, temptations, and testing. But God can make a way and provide you a Red Sea miracle when you move forward by faith. If we would simply remind ourselves of what God has done for us in the past, we should have more than enough faith to move forward by faith in a God who makes a way for us even today. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. God makes a way.